I'm with my friend Deborah Ross, and she is with DeborahRossMinistries.org. That's the website where you can find out all the good things that God is doing through this sister in Christ that I'm with here over the phone here. Deborah, you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I met you at the National Religious Broadcasters Big Shindig, as we say, in Nashville, with all these big, all these speakers and all these things going on, convention room with all these tables and all these, you know, vendors and stuff. And you came up to our booth with Truth and just kind of seeing what the Lord is doing through the ministry that God's called you to. And it's been about 5 years, I'm going to guess, that I've just tried to kind of stay in contact with you now and then to see, you know, what kind of, you know, radio outreach and things, and maybe television or different things that you're doing. Would you share with our listeners how this whole thing got started? How did Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Ross, like Betsy Ross, R-O-S-S, ministries.org, how did it get started, and what is it all about?
Wow. Well, honestly, it got started because it's a calling. I do believe that I'm called of God to ministry. For many years, I had dance studios. I was an entrepreneur, and I owned and operated three dance studios, dance and modeling studios, and I enjoyed it for over 20 years. You know, it's really, that was my niche. That was what I knew to do at that time, but I could feel God calling me out of that. And so here I am today. In fact, God told me in 1999, I believe it was, that that he was preparing me for television. And at that time, I had the three dance studios. I mean, I was doing some television here and there, just some advertisements for, you know, for different businesses and such. But God specifically spoke to me that he was preparing me for a television ministry. And that ministry was actually launched, the television ministry aspect of Deborah Ross Ministries was launched 2 years ago. So God is faithful. You know, he's faithful. I mean, he will do what he says he will do. And when he puts something in your heart, in your spirit, you know, don't let time discourage you, because that was in 1999. And really just, I think around 2017 is when it all began to launch with the television aspect of this ministry. But now this ministry has been in ongoing since 2010, but the actual television part of it didn't launch until around 2017.
Okay. And would you compare it to something that you would find in the same kind of the vein of, say, something that Kay Arthur would do, you know, as far as like women's ministries or something along those lines? Or is it more of like strengthening your marriage, women's issues and things in particular?
Well, you know, honestly, I am an evangelist. I'm an evangelist, and I have a prophetic gifting. I would say that it's similar to Kay Arthur in that I love Kay Arthur. I love her teachings. She's very deep. She's very truthful. And so I would, you know, I'm honored to say that it is similar to that, although I feel like it's also very different in many ways, in that I know that I'm specifically called to television. I know that, you know, for the most part, I am probably ministering to women, and God has also called me to minister to marriages. But I also speak to men as well, because, you know, when you're on television or radio, you know, you don't know who's listening. So you just trust that God, you know, has the right people listening, and he will use you wherever and however he wants to. And I'm open to that. So I'm thankful.
And what have you been going over recently, say, you know, in the last maybe, you know, 90 days or so? What have been some of the topics that have been touched on through your ministry?
Well, you know, because of the situation that we're all in with, you know, the whole COVID-19 situation, I was actually working on a project prior to that called the Save It Marriage Ministry. And listeners can look up saveitmarriageministry.org online. I actually had been teaching marriage classes at my church since probably 2010. And I've written a book called Healing a Broken Marriage. I've also written a Bible study called the Save It Marriage Bible Study. And God had me during this pretty much the shut-in through COVID-19 to fully develop this website so that now people from all over the world can log in and they can take the classes that I have been teaching both at my church and then also at retreats. Anybody can take it. It's online now. So I'm thankful that, you know, that God allowed me to do this during, in other words, like my time wasn't wasted. So when everything got shut down and I wasn't traveling, I wasn't speaking like normal, I wasn't, you know, filming television, doing different things, I was able to really pull together this website, which, like I said, is just a resource that I believe is going to save many marriages.
Hey, that's great. Let me ask you something. Do you think it's kind of special when, let's just say, like my wife and I were in our 50s, okay, and isn't it kind of a special thing to have Christian friends who are in your 50s, but then also have Christian friends, marriage, people that are married, you know, like that are like newlyweds, you know, like in their early 20s, you know, been married 2 or 3 years, and you glean from that phase and you look back and you remember that. And then also you look forward, maybe you have friends who have been married for like, you know, 40, 50 years. Isn't that kind of, did you ever touch on any of that kind of concept and how, you know, however long you've been married, you know, it's great to have friends that are in your same phase of life, but wouldn't you say that there's something to be really gleaned from both parties if you kind of get a little mix of eras, you know, of phases of people's marriages and have friends and those who are younger and older than you?
Absolutely. Now, I will say that, you know, I am a true believer in the Titus 2:3-5 example of how we should do ministry, which says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And then it says, then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So I do believe that, yes, I mean, I'm always learning from all people, because I feel like, you know, the more I understand people from all walks of life, all ages, you know, that kind of thing, then the better I can minister to them. But at the same time, the Bible does tell us that the older women need to be pouring into the younger women.
Right.
And so at this stage in life, I'm in my 50s as well, my late 50s. So, you know, God has allowed me to pour into many, many, many younger women, and some even my age and some older than me. But you know, I think the age thing is not so much the number. It's more of really how long and how purposeful you've served the Lord. I think that's really more of the maturity part of it, is what is your walk with the Lord and how you've lived out the word of God and how you can pour that into somebody else.
Yeah, we can't dismiss that concept, you know, and that's really like what discipleship is all about in a very, very practical way, like as you described. And what was that passage again that where you were referencing?
That's Titus 2:3-5. Titus 2.
And for those listening here in Utah, that when you hear Titus 2:3-5, maybe you're thinking, what in the world is that? Titus? I never even heard of that. I've heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Deborah, would you share with our listeners, what is that? What is that in the New Testament exactly?
Well, it's a book in the New Testament that, you know, we want to read the whole Bible. You know, I'm sure, I don't know really what you're referring to as far as the listeners in Utah are concerned, if they're not familiar with the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, tell us really about the life of Jesus. But, you know, we can read about, you know, Paul's writings. We can read about, you know, all sorts of things all through the Bible and all the different prophets through all of the scriptures.
Yeah, so, that was basically it. Just to share with somebody who maybe hasn't, you know, dusted off the Bible for a while. Titus was just a man who worked with Paul, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a letter to Titus, just giving instructions for the church and stuff that as they're out church planting, and there's just all this just practical, commands. And in the next segment, maybe we could dive into that passage a little bit more and just go over that, what that means. There's so much richness there that you mentioned there. Practical stuff, for the Christian life. And wouldn't it be great if our local churches just applied that, just gave it another look and go and said, how well are we doing that? Are we at least putting that out there for those who need to have an older person be like a mentor to them and everything? So yeah, a lot of stuff. Real quick, would you mention, just kind of give us the quick outline of that passage again, Titus 2:3-5. What does that passage talk about again? And then we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll develop it more.
Okay, so it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live. So, and that's really something missing in today's society, I think. People don't understand how to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to, it says, much wine, but I would go as far as to say as to not drink, just because who's to say what is much and what's little, once you get going with it.
Yeah.
But it says, but to teach what is good. And so then it says, then, and I think the word then is very important, then you can urge the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So, there's a mandate there for those who are mature Christians, those who are older Christians, in that you need to watch the way you live and watch the way you speak and all of that, because other people are watching you. And then when you do that, then you will be ready to teach other people, because other people will listen. If your life has a fragrance of purity, has a fragrance of holiness, then others will listen to you.
That's right. Amen. We'll be right back after the break, and we'll hear more from Deborah Ross with Deborah Ross Ministries. We'll be right back.